It's enjoyable, it's edifying to hear a prayer come from the heart of a man who's seeking after God and whose heart is full of the Word of God and who wants to pray according to the will of God. And it's an edifying thing. And I could tell by these prayers that we have some men that truly desire to be men of God, and it's an encouragement to me, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. Make sure this thing's off. It is Ephesians, and chapter 4, and I'm just going to touch on something tonight, and I know we don't have long, but Ephesians chapter 4, we talked last week, verse 26, be angry and sin not, neither let the sun go down upon your wrath. We talked about opening a door, and being, when you're full of anger, you're not full of God. And that's the simple truth of it. And that's why he says in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I want you to hold your place there and look at Romans chapter 12. He says, let him that stole, we already talked about this a few weeks ago, a little bit about the laboring to give, and so we'll move on. But what I want you to see is that he says, the guy that's got a problem with stealing, he says, the solution to that is to labor. Keep yourself busy. And for one, you won't be as tempted to steal because you'll have something. You'll be supplying your needs through your work. And secondly, you'll be busy. And look at Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 21 where he says this, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Therefore, sometimes the way to overcome evil is just to fill your life with good. And so he says, you want to get over stealing, get to work. And we talked about that a little bit, and I'll go back here to Ephesians chapter 4. And the next verse, verse 29, where he says this, he says, let no corrupt, rotten. You ever see anything that's corrupt? But that which is good to the use of edifying. You see that word edify? That means to build up. That's where you get that word edifice or wall. So to edify means to build up. So that the opposite of edifying speech is speech that tears down. All right? So corrupt is rotten. All right? Rotten. Like when, you know, when you leave something too long in the fridge, or when you hang that deer and it hangs out in the shed too long, you know? Or you get that deer head and you say, I'm going to boil it and make a European mount, and 6 months later, it's out in the shed, and all of a sudden you start to smell something. It's breeding flies, and you know what I'm talking about. It's corrupt, decay. And so there's speech that builds up, and there's speech that tears down. See? There's speech that builds up and speech that tears down. And we ought to purpose to have speech that builds up. Yeah, there's plenty of things to tear people down. We don't need to be in that business. And you ought not to tear people down with your words. You say, well, she deserves it. No, she doesn't. You're not God. Let God deal with her. Well, I need to put him in his place. No, you're not God. You let God deal with him. You don't tear people down. You build people up. Lord does a fine job of knocking people down to size. You see, the problem with corrupt communication is not just what it does to others. It's what it does to you. It's what it does to the speaker. You ever notice that? See, speech is defiling when it comes out of your mouth. And the heart affects the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But the mouth also affects the heart. You know that, right? Right. Once you open that door, let's say you get in a mood and you start talking negatively, what happens? Negative talk and wicked speech begets more negative talk and wicked speech. You see what I'm saying? And then you just follow down that path of vileness. You start cussing, and pretty soon you get more creative with your cussing. Right? Put a sailor to shame. See? And most women in America these days out-cuss any sailor 15, 20 years ago. Stuff that comes out of American women's mouth is a shame. It's a shame. Out of anybody's mouth. But I tell you, there used to be a time that ladies didn't talk the way they do now. Now it's just a jewel of gold in the swine snout. But rotten language begets rottener language because you open the door to that. And so that's how that works. Now look at here at Romans chapter 10. I'll show you what I mean by that. We know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, hold your place. Go to Matthew 12 first. And Matthew 12. Look at Matthew 12. I won't be long tonight. We won't finish this, but look at Matthew 12. And, you know, I'm not just gonna preach against cussing. But a Christian ought to purpose to build people up with their speech. Encourage people. Hey, you're gonna make it. Hey, hang in there. Hey, you're going to do a good job. Hey, God's good. See, a lot of things you can say that help people. And words hurt. The Bible says there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. You know? And you need to think about that now. You think about that. The truth of the matter is there's people in this auditorium right now that you go home. You go home and your husband or your wife can't say one positive thing to you. It's, I don't like this, and why do you do that, and what's wrong with you here? Just little. And maybe you were raised that way, and a lot of times people don't even know you're doing it. But that'll slowly, the waters wear the stone, and that'll just slowly wear you down to nothing. Down to nothing. And the tongue of the wise, the Bible says, is health. It's like a medicine. And boy, it does a kid a lot of good just to hear, hey, love you, proud of you. Yeah. Ladies, you got to say thanks, thank you, thanks for fixing that. Hey, thanks for working hard today. And husbands, you got to say thank you, that was a good meal. You know, thanks for doing that, thanks for working. Thanks for doing it. Hey, ooh, wow, look at this. I walk into the bedroom and all my clothes are folded. Thank you. Yeah, I don't do that. I just throw them all in the drawer in a big pile and sort through them. Yeah. Thank you. You know? Just say thank you. Say, hey, that's good. I like how you did that. Hey, your hair looks good today. Did that kill you? I mean, does that kill you to say your hair looks good? Does it kill you to say, hey, you got some new eyeshadow? Yeah? You look like Rihanna. You know? So what? Does that kill you? Doesn't kill you. Doesn't kill you to say something nice. Yeah, think about that. And we really, really struggle with that. Why? Well, because we got a rotten heart. That's why. That's right. And nothing can come out of it but rotten speech. Matthew 12. Well, who said it was your job to knock people down to size? You sit upon God's throne? You don't sit upon God's throne. It's not your job to keep your spouse humble. It's God's job. It's your job to minister to them. Amen. Amen. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's a law of Jesus Christ. What's he say? He says, you say what's in your heart. That's all there is to it. Your speech bewrayeth thee. What comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And boy, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Your mouth will give you away eventually. What you talk about is what you think about, what you meditate on, and what you love. And people always talk about stuff, it's because their heart's into stuff. People always talk about money, it's because their heart's into money. People always talk about hunting, it's because their heart's into hunting. Amen. Always talk about fishing, it's because that's where their heart is. You talk about what you're interested in. That's why when you get around a mom, all she does is talk about her kids. Why? So it's just what she thinks about all day. It's in her heart. See? Speech gives you away. Now, I want to show you this. Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3. Calvin Coolidge said, I've never been hurt by anything I didn't say. Silent Cal, they called him. All right? Wasn't it Abe Lincoln who said, better to hold your tongue and be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt? Isn't that the truth? Coolidge said, if you don't say anything, you won't be called on to repeat it. That's the truth. Amen. And look at here at, where'd I say go? Romans chapter 3. Will Durant, the famous, you know, historian, he said, talk is cheap because the supply always exceeds the demand. Amen. It's like opinions, right? Opinions are like armpits, right? Everybody has one and most of them stink. Okay, that's right. I've never seen there's never been a race of people in the history of mankind that thought more of their opinions than Americans in 2021. You tweet that and post it like your opinion matters, like it's really important. Well, let me tell you what I have to say about this. No one cares. You know who cares? A narcissistic, egocentric generation that thinks that their opinion really matters. The same people that think they're an animal and came from a speck of dirt. Amen. You know what you are without Jesus Christ in the grand scheme of things? I'll tell you exactly what you are. Like the old Chinese proverb, right? Stick your finger in a bucket of water and remove it, right? When the ripples are gone, that's about what your life means. And that's the truth without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you don't mean anything at all. Right? If the Bible's not true, you mean nothing at all. But you do mean something. But you're made legitimate by your relationship with Jesus Christ. Funny how that works, isn't it? Now, where'd I say go? Romans 3. Look at Romans 3. I'm just starting to warm up. You guys kind of fired me up a little bit. All right? Now, look at this. Romans chapter 3, verse 14. Look what Paul says about a lost man. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. All right, look at Romans chapter 10. That's, you know, what Paul did. He breathed out threatening and slaughters against the church. Look at over here at Romans chapter 10. What happens when you get saved? Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you get saved, your mouth changes. Look at Romans chapter 3 again. Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3. And look at verse 19. Look what he says. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You see, God's going to shut everybody's mouth one of these days. One of these days. But look at over here at Romans chapter 15. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. The way of peace have they not known. A lost man has nothing to say about God. Why? Because he doesn't know God and he doesn't know God's ways. Look at Romans chapter 15 verse 6. That you may with one mind and one what? Mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you get Jesus Christ in your heart, you got something to say. You got something to say that pleases God. Look over here at Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9. Here's Paul here. Look at Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue. What's he doing? He's breathing out threatenings and slaughters. In fact, he said that I was before a blasphemer in Timothy and a persecutor and injurious. And look at verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In verse 1, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughters, right? Look at verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Boy, his speech changed, didn't it? All right, look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, this is Ananias, the guy that's going to baptize Saul. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he what? Prayeth. What a change from verse 1 to verse 11. In verse 1, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against people. And in verse 11, he's praying. What happened in between verse 1 and verse 11? He met Jesus Christ. He got saved. And some people just need to get saved. And you can tell a lot about someone by what comes out of their mouth. By what comes out of their mouth. And everybody's got enough faith to get saved. He says this, the word is nigh thee, even the word of faith which we preach. It's even in thy mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Everybody knows enough to confess Jesus Christ. Now, look it over here at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. There's a lot we can say about this, but Romans chapter 12. And look at what he says here in verse 14. He said, Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That just goes against. Here's our problem. Here's our problem. Let's say that I'm Amish. Now, you know I'm not Amish. You can tell I'm not Amish. Don't have the suspenders. Don't have the haircut. Don't have the language. And I have a cell phone. But let's say I'm Amish. Right? Now, and you could see how there are biblical principles that would lead a person to be Amish. Separation from the world, right? Even you can follow the progress of technology through Scripture and see how it draws people away from God. You could see how someone could come to the conclusion of being Amish. Now, it's not scriptural, but you can see how they could get there. Okay? And it would be easy if you were Amish to then look back in the Bible and everything that you read in the Bible support what you believe about being Amish. And that's what people do. People go to the Scripture to support a presupposed idea that they have. They read their own belief into Scripture. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I've talked about this before and I've touched on it many times, there are many biblical principles that influenced our country in its founding. Okay? Private property. Right? Respect for the rule of law. Right? biblical ideals of the separation of church and state. Many dozens of biblical principles influenced the founding of our country. And that's why for a long time you had such a great country, because of the Bible influence. Are you following me? All right? But the Bible, but to read that backward, right, and say that a constitutional conservative Republican is what God wants every Christian to be, is reading backward into the scripture. Because not everything about your conservative today is biblical or holy or righteous. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we oftentimes look to the Bible to protect our political ideals and our idea of what an American is. Does that make sense? And you need to be careful about that. There are many biblical principles that have influenced this country, and that's a good thing. It might be okay for a pundit, and it might be okay for your average American to speak in a certain way about those that are in authority. But it is not okay for a Christian. You're welcome. You have a right as an American to call a politician an idiot and a moron. You do not have a right as a Christian. You're welcome. You ought to be careful. You can't model respect for authority, and you can't teach respect for authority if you don't model it a little bit in your life. So just be careful. Just be careful. And when the Bible says to honor the king and to respect those that are in authority, it doesn't just mean respect those in your political party. Okay. You're welcome. You're welcome. Listen, is this a government of the people, by the people, for the people? Okay. You're in Montana. Okay. Pull your head out of the sand. Most of this country doesn't agree with you. Okay? Go to Minneapolis. Go to Seattle. Go to San Francisco. Go to LA. Go to a college campus. Okay? Go to any coffee shop. Go to any bar. And sit down with any 22-year-old and see if they share your ideals. They do not. And they can vote. And the Constitution, I wish they didn't vote. But the Constitution gives them a right to vote. And they disagree with you. And that right is protected. So, like it or lump it. Say, I don't like it. I don't either. But that, you know what? That's the game you play, right? That's just the way it goes. Oh, wow, is it quiet in here? Yeah. Nothing is more sacred to Americans than their right to whine and complain. Yeah. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I know, you're entitled to your opinion, and there's free speech, but boy, I just talked to a pastor today, and he just called me up, and he said, did you see what happened in Washington today? I said, I tried not to. And he said, I feel like half my church is about ready to pull the guns out, you know? And keep it cool. Play it cool. You might have a chance to be a Christian now. And listen, if this thing blows up the way some people are blowing it up, you know what? There needs to be plenty of people passing out bandages and taking in the wounded and the sick and the hungry. Right? You know what we're going to need if this thing blows to bits? We're going to need some Christians. Because that's going to be the only peace, and that's going to be the only face of Jesus Christ that anybody's ever going to see. Now, I know people are, you know, listen, people are talking civil war. You know that, right? Do you know what they did today? Do you know what they've been doing out in Portland? burning the place down, and the law was not enforced. Right? Lawlessness. Okay? Yeah, but there's a protest going on, and one person says, you know, all it takes is one person. Let's charge! Take Bunker Hill! Take the Boston Massacre and the Boston Tea Party! Let's go, boys! And then all of a sudden, that's what happens in a riot. Just takes, and then everybody's, right? Other people sitting in the speaker's chair. Right? Probably couldn't even spell speaker. Sorry. Look, whatever. I don't get, everybody's going to have a different opinion on that. Fine. But let me just say something to you here. And I've told you before, I think most of our politicians literally just need to be tarred and feathered. They do. They're all stinking corrupt. They're sold out to the highest bidder. It's wicked. You know, the only people who got rich off this thing are the big, giant corporations. Now look, it's 1864, okay? Coming into 1865 here, end 1864, beginning 1865. Grant pushes down across the Potomac, across the Rappahannock. In a series of flanking maneuvers, he pushes the Army of Northern Virginia back to a position around Petersburg, which is a rail station 30 miles south of Richmond. If he can take Petersburg, he can take Richmond. He's got the Confederacy. Trench warfare ensues, precursor to World War I. Attrition warfare, blowing each other to bits. Awful. During this war, the machine gun was invented. Repeating rifle was invented. Lots of new ways to kill each other. Another thing that was invented was a landmine. I think it was invented by an Englishman. 1865. Okay. Here's General Lee with his lieutenants and his staff. They're riding down this clay road. And one of his aides says, "General, we need to go to the side of the road here. We need to circumvent this part of the road." He says, "Why?" He says, "Well, we placed some landmines there for the Yankees." He said, "What are those?" They said, "Well, they're these things you step on, you can't see them, and you step on them, and they blow you up." It's a true story. You know what he said? "Pull them." He did. He said, "Pull them." He says, "I won't fight that way. That's dirty pool." He says, we'll face each other man to man and blow each other to bits, but I will not come on a man unawares. That's an ungentlemanly way to fight." That was America in 1865. You think that happened now? You think if this country erupted into civil war, you'd have people behaving in a gentlemanly manner like that? This generation raised on Halo, this generation raised on sex, drugs, and rock and roll and violence, you think that's going to happen? If this thing blew up into civil war, it'd be a chaos. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. You pray for peace. All right? Only people who pray for war is people that have no idea what they're talking about. It'd be an awful thing. Awful, 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 awful. More than you can imagine. And so be careful what you wish for. It wouldn't be like 1776. It would be like what happened over there in Rwanda. Right? One day you're saying hey to the neighbor as you're weeding your carrot patch, and the next day they're taking their machete and cutting you up into 12 pieces. That's what happened in Rwanda. See? What's that from? What's all that from? Look at the book of James. Look at the book of James. James chapter 3, verse 4. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How great a matter. One spark. I think was it 1910? Was the big fires out here? 3 million acres burned in 1910. You know how they were started? They were started by these trains that cut through the mountains, and these trains were burning coal, and the sparks would come out of them coal burners. It was a really dry summer. 3 million acres burned. Right? You know about the Great Chicago Fire, right? You know how they say that started, right? Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over the lantern while she was milking it. I don't know how many people lost their lives there. Oh, how great a matter. Every fire starts with a spark. Right? Better watch your tongue. Better watch your tongue. And so, what should we do? What should we do? Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to have to finish this next week. Colossians 4. We ought to minister grace to the hearers. People ought to have hope from our speech. People ought to hear life from our speech. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many people died in World War II? I don't know, but that thing was sparked by Mussolini and Hitler. And Hitler never fired a shot until the shot that took his own life. Tens of millions of people died. Why? That thing right there. And you know what people need to hear from us? They need to hear life from us. Amen. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. Folks, we ought to sprinkle grace on everything we say. Sprinkle grace on everything you say. There's enough. There's enough awful, negative, hurtful speech out there. Christians ought to determine to speak some grace. Christians ought to determine to give some life with their speech. We ought to. We ought to purpose it in our hearts that good things will come out of our mouth. That's what people need. Because as this thing goes on, they're not going to get it anywhere else. They're not going to get it, but they can get it from you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus Christ spoke life. Sure he did. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Determine to have gracious, kind, truthful speech